Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
As you'd be well aware, we in South Africa are one of the leading economies on the African continent. But that doesn't mean that there isn't some tough and stiff competition. If you take a look at annual reports and some ratings that we see, even from banks and institutions like the likes of RMB, you would notice that South Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, and more recently, the likes of Egypt and Morocco have become very strong contenders as to being the leading economy and on the African continent in terms of GDP growth, in terms of scale, size, and business activity. Well, let's talk specifically about South Africa and Nigeria. Just today, Standard Bank had published an update on its operations, largely raising concerns around currency devaluations in various countries within which the group operates on the African continent. Now, they do highlight here that this has had an impact on expectations regarding their profits. And think about it. Nigeria, in particular, is one market. They used to have a currency on the black market that was traded and another that was pegged to the US dollar until just over a year ago, where they started to free float the currency. And that essentially means that the currency trades where the market thinks it should be valued. Since then, we've seen a significant devaluation and depreciation of the Nigerian naira. And that does translate into lower profits that are typically recorded by South African companies who operate in that market. Think MultiChoice, MTN, Standard Bank, and a few others. But despite that, Nigeria and South Africa might not only be tough competitors and contenders on the African continent, we also have a strong level of allegiance, camaraderie, and partnership. So much so that we're well aware that at the moment there's an 11th bi-national commission and conversation that's taking place between South Africa and Nigeria. To tell us more about this, we joined on the line by Dr. Ruthendo Hidwingi, who is the founding director of Tribe Africa Advisory, well known to cover ongoing research around operations and doing business in Africa. Dr. Ruthendo, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Always an absolute pleasure to speak to you, Gugu. Can you hear me loud and clear? I can hear you quite clearly.
We've got you
same on your side?
Loud and clear. And I'm excited for this conversation because we need to hear every word you're going to tell us today. I started off by painting a picture around the bilateral ties and competitive nature that South Africa typically has with Nigeria. But the truth is these two economies can't live without each other, right? There's strong bilateral ties and allegiances that we need to maintain.
Very strong bilateral. I thought we were going to talk about the Miss South Africa, Miss Nigeria, up to Miss Universe. So I'm quite disappointed that's not the topic of discussion.
We can go but business is our focus.
But you bring a very relevant point, Gugu. And I think, you know, let's take away the geopolitics, because sometimes, like it gets better, the South African South Commission has always highlighted there's geopolitics, there's geoeconomics, and geoeconomics sort of determine in terms of the reality of the situation. And let me just talk there first. I mean, this event that's happening, the bilateral discussion that's happening in Cape Town, it's to obviously highlight 30 years of diplomatic relationships between South Africa and Nigeria. And currently there are over 34 agreements and memorandum of understanding between the two countries, which cover a wide range of fields: economical, technical, scientific, social, and tourism. So I think you earlier highlighted on, in terms of South Africa and Nigeria, two of the biggest economies in Africa. What people take for granted, Gugu, is that 50% of Africa's GDP is in five countries: South Africa, Nigeria, Ethiopia, Algeria, and Egypt. Just in terms of quantum, your Kenyas and your Moroccos, in terms of growth and infrastructure, play a key role, but just in terms of size. But I think the reason I'm highlighting that's just highlighting first and foremost the importance of Nigeria and South Africa having strong economic ties. The second thing, when you look at trade between the two countries, looking at 2022-2023 stats, Nigeria exported $2.25 billion to South Africa, whereas South Africa exported $521 million. So from a trade surplus perspective, Nigeria is on the front foot from a South Africa perspective. But another key point that I need to highlight, which people also take for granted, and this sometimes creeps into their AGOA story, we obviously know that the FCFTA is absolutely a key driver of industrialization on the African continent. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that, I think the figure that's always thrown around by His Excellency Wamkele is that the current intertrade value is $190 billion. Mm-hmm. What people don't understand is that 20% of that intertrade contribution is coming from South Africa and only 5% from Nigeria. In other words, South Africa plays a key role with regards to intertrade. Obviously, Nigeria Cote d'Ivoire is probably on 7%, but Southern Africa, steered by South Africa, followed by West Africa, led by Nigeria, plays a key role. So let me just pause there just to highlight from a background context perspective why the economic relationship between Nigeria and South Africa is absolutely crucial with regards to driving growth on the continent, but more importantly, obviously the politics have to align there. But just to give some context in terms of why this session and this meeting and this relationship is so key to both economies.
100%. As you say, it's a very important market, but also a very complex one, especially if we take a look at updates we see from companies like MTN, Standard Bank, and even MultiChoice, all of whom have typically referenced the decline in the Nigerian Naira. And at times there have been other regulatory stresses that might have threatened their operations or seen a decrease in their optimal financial performance. Help us contextualize, I guess, the economies of both regions and how, again, through political partnership, the economic environment can be, I guess, refreshed or retained to make sure that there's optimal growth for both parties in each market.
Yeah, Google, I think it's a bit of a conundrum. So let's start off with Nigeria. Why do I say it's a bit of a conundrum? And I'll speak with Nigeria, then come to South Africa. The conundrum for Nigeria is from an economic perspective, because obviously this has had an impact on the political perspective. Why do I say that? I mean, more recently, 3 or 4 months ago, there was protest and demonstrations that happened in Nigeria because the youth were rising up because certain taxes and I think the cost of fuel had gone up. And the current president, Tinubu, had done this obviously to accommodate fiscal and monetary strategy. But the challenge that is there for Nigeria is obviously it's very dependent on the fuel economy. On the oil economy, and that's one of its biggest exports to South Africa. But the other challenge is that it's got the burden or the curse of IMF loans, which it's trying to get out of. So in one way, it's trying to diversify. But having said that, I mean, obviously, in terms of floating the foreign currency, it's foreign currency or it's Naira on the open market. I mean, I've operated in Nigeria. It's kind of it works for a bit of a short term. Then there's a change of leadership or the change of strategy. Then they're back to square one. But the current challenge is there is that from a growth perspective, a big economy driven by oil trying to diversify is going through challenges. Unemployment is on the streets. So all of this creates a bit of a tension. So that's with Nigeria in terms of its dilemma that it's there. South Africa on the other side, obviously we've got our unemployment challenges that are there, but I think the biggest challenge from a South Africa perspective when you're looking at trade that will impact Nigeria is obviously on the sidelines, we've got Trump 2.0 coming. There's the whole question of AGOA, our relationships with regards to Russia, with regards to Israel, all of those have got a sort of a domino effect in terms of the geoeconomics that impact the geopolitics. So to be honest, Google, both countries really need each other to huddle and strengthen in terms of their strategy, because from an international perspective, there's a lot of pressure from a geoeconomics perspective, and the geopolitics have to align to that. And I'm not talking about the xenophobias, which is obviously something that has to be dealt with, but they really need each other, I strongly believe, in order to go to the next level.
Definitely do need each other. And you're quite right. This is just to talk about the economics, never mind some of the social aspects that often come to the fore when it comes to Nigeria's relationship with South Africa. But to close off with, as you mentioned, there are 34 areas of agreement and memoranda of understanding that will have to be reviewed here. Talk us through the best case scenario that would essentially translate also into positive outcomes for the economic performance of both countries here and the businesses that are invested in each market.
So coming back to your point, I think the challenge that is there, if I go into the detail of the memorandum, I'm not a trade guru like yourself, Google, hopefully one day I aspire to be that. But I think, you know, what boils down to, if I just look at, I mean, one of the key trends that I look at, Google, in terms of driving growth in the African continent, especially with African countries, because I hate to homogenize stuff. And I like to, as I always say, you know, appreciate the heterogeneity. If you look at venture capital investment in terms of tech startups on the African continent, why do I say this? Why do I use tech startups? Because they are kind of an indicator with regards to, you know, where the growth is happening, what's attracting investment onto the continent that's driving local growth. If you look at the 2023 figures, there was plus or minus $3.6 billion invested on the continent by venture capitalists. And the leading countries that attracted investment, traditionally it's Nigeria, followed by Africa. For 2023, coincidentally, $549 million was injected into the economy and the Silicon Valley. For that was actually Cape Town City, and then 469 went into Nigeria. So that was a different trend to former years. But when you split that by sectors, the key sectors attracting that investment is fintech, and e-commerce and clean tech, as well as I think the other one is health tech to a certain extent. But why am I highlighting all of these is that these are the things that are driving and creating investment on the continent, and both South Africa and Nigeria have got strong capabilities. There's strong opportunity to invest. So when I look at these bilateral discussions that are happening, I think they started today and they'll be finishing off tomorrow with the presidential insights. One of the key aspects is obviously from a political perspective, the G20, which is happening next year, which is a key topic, and how Africa can pan-Africanize that. But I think more importantly, Google, just from an economic perspective, I think it's an opportunity for both countries to say, look, we are the two top countries attracting the greatest investment on the continent. Mm-hmm. We contribute between the two of us to 30% of Africa's GDP. When you speak Africa, whether you like it or not, you cannot leave Nigeria and South Africa out.
True.
How can we position ourselves? Because the future of Africa is industrialization. And industrialization comes from stimulating the startups, the tech startups, and using that to leverage and create growth. So if I was a fly on the wall or a little minister in that room, my key areas would be say, how can we look at our resources, our capabilities, mobilize them and leverage off them in terms of driving industrialization, drive the economic growth, which will lead to export, which will lead to us taking a quantum leap. That would be my short and sweet sermon with regards to discussions around the topic in terms of the two countries in the next few days.
100%. Such a pleasure speaking to you. We haven't even gone into, the partnerships, some positive examples, some learnings that we've learned, the likes of ShopRite and Woolworths, who entered into that market, missed the price, and then came back with their tail in between their legs, but also some phenomenal partnerships that do continue to exist between the two nations. But we'll touch base on that in future. Always a pleasure speaking to you, Rutendo.
Thank you, Google. Have a great day. And thank you for having me on your show.
Anytime. Thank you. That's Dr. Rutendo Hudwingi, who is the founding director of Tribe Africa Advisory. To do with doing business on the African continent and understanding the dynamics that you contend with, he is the go-to guy, helping businesses essentially find the right partnerships, leverage on opportunities, and just understanding the market more effectively. Helping us understand the bilateral agreements and conversations taking place between Nigeria and South Africa, where both presidents, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, as well as President Cyril Ramaphosa, in great conversations there.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.